Esther chapter number 4. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew there. Or if you see someone does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. Esther chapter number 4. We're going to read one verse together, verse number 14. Verse number 14. Aren't you glad you're saved? Are you excited? Huh? This is exciting, amen. If you're on the right side, it's exciting, amen. If God is your Savior, it's exciting, amen. If you're born again on your way to heaven, it's exciting. Esther chapter number 4, verse number 14. Let's read together, reading from the King James Bible. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I'm going to talk to you this morning about such a time as this. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. Lord, I pray that you bless this Bible study, this sermon this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here. The Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to yield to thee. Help us to be humble enough to just be used of thee. Whatever our past may have been, whatever our wickedness or our sinfulness may have been, I thank you, dear God, that because of your blood, you have washed away all our sins. You have forgiven us. And now, dear God, help us not to be intimidated by Satan or our past, but to be used of thee, as we said in the adult Bible study, dear God. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that you have prepared for them that love them, that love you. So, dear God, please help us prepare our hearts, prepare our people, prepare our church. And Lord, help us to be ready for what you have in store for us. Bless, we pray this morning in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. Esther chapter number 4, verse number 1, to get the context of this story. Esther chapter number 4, verse number 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, by the way, the Jews were going to get killed, amen. And they were getting slaughtered. And there's nothing different today. 3,000 years later, the world still hates the Jews, amen? And everything's the Jews' fault, you know? But here, they're going to get slaughtered. So when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. That's what you call street preaching, amen? I know it's almost unheard of in Baptist church today, but that's exactly what Mordecai did. And came even before the king's gate. Can you imagine going out to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, just preaching up a storm? Just like John the Baptist did, by the way, to Herod, amen? No different. For none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. You know what Jesus said? He said, they that wear soft raiment live in king's palaces. Verse number 5, then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house, more than all the Jews. If anybody knows their Bible at all, and anybody has been reading the headlines the last few years, ladies and gentlemen, God's people are in trouble in the United States of America. Persecution is about to come, and God's people ought to start waking up, ladies and gentlemen, smelling the coffee. The same thing they were planning to do to the Jews are going to plan to do to Christians in America like they did in other foreign countries, ladies and gentlemen. Mordecai got the word of what was going to happen. And in verse number 8, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree. We have a copy of God's word that tells us in detail how to prepare ourselves. It should not be a shock to anybody who knows their Bible. In verse number 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. We read it again. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It is not time for God's people to be quiet, ladies and gentlemen. I think it is a proper way to do it. I think there's a proper place to say it. But it is not time for God's people to be quiet about the injustices that are happening in our country. Verse number 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Here's what the queen said to Mordecai. She had not been invited into the king's inner court. And you know that's the death penalty. If you're not invited by the king and you go in by yourself, it's off with your head. And here's what the queen's answer is to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Well, I believe that God's people's rallying cry ought to be as Esther said, if I perish, I perish. We are come to such a time as this as never before in the history of our nation, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 56, verse number 10, verse number 11, the Bible says that the watchman is blind, ignorant. The preachers, the so-called men of God, they're dumb dogs, the Bible says. Not dumb and being stupid, dumb that can't talk. They cannot bark. They're sleeping. They lie down. They love to slumber. The Bible says they're greedy dogs. They can never have enough. Shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain. That's God in Isaiah 56. You know why? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse number 10, that the love of money is the root of all evil. We are approaching, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be a long sermon this morning, but we are approaching a threshold moment. We are approaching a precipice. I do not know. I can't see the future. I have no idea how it's going to transpire. I have no idea how it's going to unfold. But I can tell you this much, that growing up as a young boy in a Greek household, I heard the story in 480 BC where King Leonidas took only 300 bodyguards to meet the vast Persian army at Thermopylae. And for however many days it was, 4, 5, 6 days, he held off the vast army of the Persians. And he knew beforehand that when he was marching those 300, 400 miles in the hot August sun, 480 BC, that he was marching to his death. And I remember the stories when Xerxes, the king of Persia, told him that we're going to have so many arrows fill the sky that it's going to block out the sun. King Leonidas' answer was, good, then we'll fight in the shade. And when King Xerxes commanded King Leonidas that there's no way you're going to survive, that lay down your weapons, his answer, as you may have read in the last 5 or 10 years, has become very popular. He said, Molon lave, come and get him. You may have read of 1836, the 13 days that Jim Bowie, Crockett, and others held off the Mexican army in the Battle of Alamo. You may have heard the battle of Philip of Macedon in 346 BC when his ships came down outside the coast of Laconia of Sparta, and he said, "You are advised to submit without further delay, for if I enter Laconia, I will raise Sparta to the ground." And the Spartans reply with just one word, "If." You remember the story in 1770, and by the way, the Persians decided not to land. In 1776, you have heard the phrase of John Paul Jones, who said, "I have not yet begun to fight." I do not want to blow this out of proportion. I do not know exactly what the future holds, but I can tell you this much. I believe this coming Sunday will be a day that many people will remember. Not just people who are in our church and members of our church, but I believe it will send a signal, good or bad, however the world takes it, in the eyes of the world that will not be soon forgotten. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. It should be no shock to anybody who knows their Bible and reads their Bible that the world hates God and hates the Word of God. The same Jesus Christ who loved everybody and is a merciful God and forgiving God and wants people to get saved. The same Jesus Christ who was lauded as he came into Jerusalem just 4, 5, 6 days earlier was crucified by the same crowd. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Paul's writing, he says, "I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." We've heard about them lately. "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." Take your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter number 4. What I'm saying is God's people have always been tired. And let me just say, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the folks in this church. You have stepped up to the plate with your giving, with your support, with your encouragement. I really appreciate it. I cannot tell you how encouraged I am that the folks in our church are standing by us, amen, and by this. And I appreciate your faithfulness. But God's people have always been tired because God's people have always worked and gone against the grain. Just as salmon swim against the stream, they go against the stream, going upstream to lay their young to die, so we, as God's people, should be willing to give our all, not because we're getting anything out of it, but because our children will live in a little bit of freedom and liberty while we're when we're gone. John chapter number 4, and verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And that's when that woman of Samaria got saved, amen? I know we're tired. I know we've been at this a long time. I'm not just talking about the previous 3, 4, 5 weeks and the previous couple of months. I'm talking about the last 27 years, amen? Some of us have been working our tails off, amen? Some of us have nonstop handing out tracts and knocking on doors and witnessing and preaching and getting people saved, amen? Some of us, you know, you think, You think your life is tired. You come to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go out soul winning once or twice a week and run the bus and do the Sunday schools and work in the ministry here. At the end of the day, man, we're tired, amen. Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul was tired too. And Jesus was tired too, amen. And it's abnormal if you're not tired, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're not tired, you're not doing something right. Matthew chapter number 21, please. Matthew 21. And the reason is because it's the work of God. We're trying to get people saved. We're trying to get folks to trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And I'm praying for this coming Sunday that scores of gun owners and hunters trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. This is, I'll be honest with you, this is not just making a statement for the Second Amendment, which I fully support, by the way, and we have no qualms about it. Don't misunderstand me. But we're out to get people saved, amen? We want people to trust Jesus Christ as their salvation, as their Savior, amen? That is the bottom line, amen? Gun is a great thing, but it's not your Savior, amen? It's a good tool. It's a necessary tool, amen? Matthew 21, verse number 28. Matthew 21, verse number 28. Jesus said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which one are you? Are you saying I'm going to do something for God but never do something for God? Are you in the group that says, you know, I wish I could do something. I want to do something. I'd like to do something. Sure, I'll raise my hand. I'll volunteer for something. But then you don't show up and you don't do anything for God. Or are you the folks that say, well, you know, I'm kind of nervous about doing that. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I can. And then decide, you know what? I'm going to do something. Amen. Which group are you in this morning? Well, look at the comparison and really the stark comparison that Jesus makes about these two groups. Verse number 32. Verse 31. He said, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God. Wow. Before you. So how is that possible? Well, when Jesus talking to these Pharisees here, who act like they're pious, who act like they're godly, who do not allow sinners to trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior, but they want to trust in their good works and some religious system. You know what Jesus said? He said the harlots, and you know what a publican is? That's one of the tax collectors, by the way. And they have the same reputation they had 2,000 years ago, amen? Everybody dislikes the IRS just as much as they did 2,000 years ago. Some things have not changed, amen? But to put it in a clear perspective, Jesus said that these publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you do. Because while you look at their lives and while you look at what their past life has been and what they've done wrong, all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior and you're going in, amen? And God now doesn't look at my 21 years before I got saved and the 21 years before I was cussing and swearing and lying and cheating and stealing and drinking. But God looked at November 1978 when John Cletus got saved, amen? And John Cletus was born again, amen? And now, because I'm saved, I'm a saved sinner, I'm going to go to heaven because I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, God said, you're going in. While the religious hypocrites and the Pharisees, they're going to be left out, ladies and gentlemen, because they think they're pretty good. They think they're pretty smart. And they don't need the Bible, and they don't need Jesus Christ, they think. Well, Jesus Christ made a stark difference, amen? But the publicans and the harlots believed him. Verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Talking to the Pharisees. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe. Hey, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Huh? Have you repented? Huh? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? Huh? That's what we're talking about here. That's what our forefathers in this country believed, amen? That's what built this nation, amen? Mark chapter number 12, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12. Mark 12, verse number 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? Now watch this statement here. And the common people heard him gladly. I'm not really concerned what the politicians think. I'm not really concerned what the pharisaical religious leaders think. I don't really care what the rich people and the well-connected think, ladies and gentlemen. Because you know what the Bible says? Jesus cared about the poor person, and Jesus cared about the common man, and Jesus tried to get the gospel to everybody like you and I are supposed to do, amen? And how often it's the rich people that mock, and how often is the politicians that mock, and how often is it the religious pharisaical leaders that mock at the simple plan of salvation that all you need to do is trust Jesus Christ to be saved, amen? And they mock at that. Because they're not saved anyway. They're not saved themselves. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. The sixth book in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter number 3. After Deuteronomy is Joshua. If I perish, then I perish. We are not careful to answer thee, O King. Nope. We're not going to bow down to that image, King. No, sir. No. You want to throw me in a fire furnace? Go ahead. Put me in a lion's den? Go ahead. If I perish, I perish. But someone at this time that we've come to has got to speak, ladies and gentlemen, and somebody's got to say something. And if God's people don't say it, then tell me, pray tell me who's going to say it. Who's going to have the courage to say what should be said? Joshua chapter number 3. Verse number 7, actually verse number 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, verse number 4, can't read my own handwriting. Joshua 3, verses 3 and 4, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Levites your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Watch this. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You and I, living in this generation, we have never come to this point in our lives, at least in the last 100 years or so. Our forefathers who fought the revolution did. They were brave enough, they were man enough. They say, you know what? You can take our lands, you can take our property, you can take our wealth, but we'd rather have our liberty and our freedom. Our forefathers believed that. But now we have been lulled into sleep by being addicted to our government to provide from cradle to grave everything that we want. And slowly but surely, we have been addicted to this system that we all need a government a handout. We all need a government assistance. We all need a government program. Ladies and gentlemen, what you need is Jesus Christ, amen. What you need is God Almighty, amen. What you need is the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, to make you free, the Bible says. We'll close with 2 Chronicles 29. Probably be the shortest sermon you ever heard me preach, amen, I know. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We ought not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation, ladies and gentlemen. We ought not to be afraid or intimidated. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare, but God's favor will be on those who love him. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, please. 29. 2 Chronicles 29. I'm going to start reading in verse number 27. Please follow along. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. Now please notice the next verse. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people. Watch this. For the thing was done suddenly. As I said earlier in the adult Bible study, there's no way we can gauge what's going to happen next Sunday. We could have 200 people show up. We could have 500 plus people show up. I can tell you this much. Or more. Please be prepared. Please be prepared. I leave you with these words. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. God's been good to us. God has blessed us more abundantly than we deserve. God's given us a beautiful building to meet in. God has given us beautiful houses to live in and beautiful families. But the one thing that we hold more dear than anything else is the Lord Himself, who gave us all these things. And not to allow these things to be more important than the God who gave them to us. It happens on rare occasions in history that some were willing to sacrifice everything for God or for a right cause, even people that didn't believe in God or in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, but for those of us who do believe in Jesus Christ, it will be well worth the sacrifice, amen? They can take this building, but they can't take Jesus Christ from me. They can take my house, but they can't take Jesus Christ from me. They can take my liberty and put me in a prison cell like they did the Apostle Paul. And we'll start a prison ministry, amen? But they can't take Jesus Christ from me. Because once you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you're a child of God. Once you're saved, you're always saved, ladies and gentlemen. And no man alive, no priest, no preacher, no pastor, no Pharisee can take that away from you. I say, if I perish, I perish. And let us not hold our peace this week. Pray and fast this week, will you please? Let's all stand, shall we?